Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 215th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. This is part one of a special three-part series of interviews done with three Bangor women. Powerful, professional women, all friends, all running for public offices. This series was pre-recorded. Today, my guest is Angela Okafor. She was born and raised in Southeast Nigeria, the second of five children, and moved with her husband in 2007 to Bangor, Maine for his work. Her background is in law. Currently, Angela is operating a store in Bangor called Tropical Tastes International Market, while she raises their three school-age children and runs for Bangor City Council. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Angela.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
So you were born on top of a high hill in Southeast Nigeria in a small town so named. Can you paint a picture to describe daily life in your hometown in Nigeria for you and your family when you were growing up there?
Yeah, growing up in Nigeria, Enugu, which literally means on top of the hill, life wasn't terrible. It was a lot of struggles, you know, economically. I didn't grow up in a wealthy family, but myself and my siblings, we were trained to be very religious. And, you know, there were times growing up that we weren't sure where the next meal was going to come from, but we are very thankful that at least we never really went hungry, you know. So, yeah, that was it.
Well, was it quite beautiful where you were?
Yes, it's beautiful in its own ways. You know, the local, my dad loves to tell stories, so he would tell us a lot of stories and our cultures and how things were the way they were. And, you know, then growing up with kids, we used to play outside, you know. Television was pretty much a luxury, but even at that, most of the time, there were lots of things we could play outside, skip roping, and a lot of things. Kids would come out, different kids from neighborhoods would come out, play different types of games. So it was, yeah, it was very innocent and A lot really good, you know, growing up, yeah.
And
the food, it was, I mean, growing up, you know, I used to be kind of a little picky with food, but, you know, growing up in Nigeria, most of the, our mothers, my mom, for example, she didn't care if you don't like anything. So long as it doesn't bother, like it doesn't make you sick, you must eat that food. Like, you don't, it's not even like you have a choice. You don't have a choice. You either eat it or you go hungry.
What? It doesn't have to be delicious as long as it's nutritious.
Yes. Yes. You don't have to like it. It does. I mean, our native food most times are delicious, but, you know, taste buds differ. There are things that we don't like. Growing up, I didn't quite like vegetables, but my mom didn't care. Like, you know, whether you like it or not, so long as it doesn't make you sick, you don't have a choice but to eat what she presents.
Yeah.
You know, so that was it. And then growing up in Nigeria as a child, there are a lot, you know what not to do. Like,
yeah.
You don't even need to be told. Sometimes my mom, the way she would look at you, you don't even need to be told that you are in the wrong place. You definitely fit yourself back in. And then you dare not talk back when an adult is talking. The adult doesn't even need to be your parent or your relative. Like, you can get a very dirty slap from, you know, such a behavior, or when you do something wrong, you don't look up at the adult, you bend down, it kind of shows remorse, you know. So growing up, you didn't have a choice but to be very respectful, very hardworking, and yeah.
The whole community would keep you in line. Yeah. You said that school is very important in Nigeria, and that you felt really privileged to get to attend university and study law there, the highest of the arts. And beyond that, you were determined to defy those who said you really couldn't do it. Why did people think you couldn't study law?
Yeah, like I said, growing up, I wasn't that fortunate to be born into a rich family. So, like I said, we struggled a lot financially, my family. My dad was a teacher in a Catholic school. So, you know, normally teachers are not well paid. Then teachers who even teach in mission schools are even less paid. So, and then having other four siblings, you know, it was a lot of financial struggle. So, I remember sometime my dad, I can't remember exactly the conversation I was having with him, but, you know, at some point he was really concerned if we are going to be able to go to the university. And I, you know, I remember telling him, don't worry, I wouldn't have to go. And, you know, the look in his face, on his face, he felt very heartbroken. But, of course, he encouraged me that, you know, my dad has this calm way of dealing with things. When we are freaking out, and he'll be like, don't worry, God will provide, you know. He always has that quiet attitude and calm attitude and demeanor towards things. So, you know, I had people who felt around me, who felt that, you know, they were better privileged than me. I mean, it happens everywhere, you know, and I remember somebody in school then telling me, you know, that do you even have money? How can you even go to the university, let alone studying law? You know, we have people who go for law and people who can afford it. So that was actually when the thought of studying law, you know, I developed that thought in my head. I'm like, why can't I? You know, money is not everything. I felt like, you know, I can study for it. I can pass it. I can, even though I knew at the back of my mind that money was going to be part of at least buying clothes and books and stuff. I have always felt very privileged, in a very unique way, not financially, but I feel like I've always been favored in a special way, that I've always had good people around me at every turn of my life. So when I got into school, from nowhere, I met this group of friends that, you know, we became like sisters. There's this particular one. She calls me her younger sister, you know, but we became this very close. She literally behaves like she's my older sister, because I don't have an older sister. Sometimes we grew in school, then we used to call her my great sister. So, because, you know, she would literally mother all of us. You know, she was a year ahead of me. And most of the times when she finished with her books, she would literally hand me over books. There, I had friends and relatives who sometimes lent me money to make up, to be able to pay for my school fees plus what my parents were able to gather. I used to do, there's this thing called moi moi, you know, I would eat beans, black eyed beans, blended and, you know, cooked. I used to make them. We had some stores around, businesses around my house then. I would go and drop some of them with turkey. There's this how we make turkey in Nigeria then, and slice onions and peppers on top of them. So I used to make those and drop in front of those businesses. You know, by the time I got back in the evenings, whatever they stole, they would give me the money. Whatever that was left, I would take it back home. So I was really doing quite a number of things here and there by the side, to help myself. So that was pretty much how I did.
Wow, Angela, I love that story, because your father had his quiet confidence in you, which made you kind of rich in a way that your family wasn't financially. You had confidence, and so when people told you you couldn't do it, you just knew that wasn't quite right. And you went on to make fabulous friends and make your way through a complicated and difficult degree in law. And when you arrived here, you and your husband thought you would eventually move to New York, so you sat for the New York bar, passed it the very first time, which is quite impressive, but you did not end up moving to New York. How does law figure into your life presently?
Yes, we did not move to New York. We did not move out of Maine because, you know, we grew up to like Maine. We love the fact that it's relatively safe, and we love the school system. It's very awesome, you know, compared to a lot of other kids who move from out of state. They struggle to fit in here, which means that our level of education is very good. And also, I love the fact that, you know, every child in this, in our Bangor school department gets the same opportunity, the same curriculum is used So that was, these were all the things that made us feel like, you know, this is really a good place to raise a family, which was why we settled in. And also, we saw Maine and Bengal as a gold mine that needs to be dug, you know. So all these things factored into our relaxing here. Then being able to get a job in law was very, very, like, it was almost, in fact, let me say, it was literally impossible. Because everywhere I went, I even applied for paralegal positions, legal secretaries, compliance, anything you can think of that is affiliated to law, somehow, remotely or not. But I was always turned down. It was always, oh, you don't have the main experience, or I was overqualified. At some point, even though I'm already licensed, I worked in the dish room washing dishes. Why did I do that? Because I was being told, oh, why don't you get your foot in the door? Why don't you get your foot in the door, you know? And I felt, I love food, good food. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do something that is not in law, I better be doing it somewhere I can manage and wage better place than food. So that was why I got in the kitchen. So it wasn't a very pleasant experience, but I loved the fact that I was able to find, to make some friends there, you know? And, discover certain things about myself, how strong I actually am, because I've never done anything that physical, but that phase of my life was very, it was a very tough time.
Oh, however, it would be so disheartening.
Point, you know, yes. I remember an interview I went for, and I was told that, you know, you're very ambitious, and it's very concerning, you know. So I now told myself at some point that I was done, you know, having to dumb myself down to do things that I shouldn't be doing instead of growing myself. Actually, at some point, I started doing MBA at Hudson. I started doing it in healthcare management because a lot of advice was, oh, why don't you get in the medical field? So I started doing MBA in healthcare management to find a way to, like, rub it into my law to hopefully see if I can find something to do. But, you know, when I decided, you know what, I'm done with all of this, I didn't finish my, at least not yet, I put it on hold, I'm still figuring it out though. But I decided, you know, I was going to strike out on my own, I was going to start my own law practice. However, not being licensed in Maine, I couldn't do certain things, which is why I restrict myself to federal law, which I have been, I've been doing that since 2016. And I'm happy where I am now. And I mean, I'm not where I want to be. Not even close to it, but I'm glad that at least I'm not where I was yesterday and that I'm moving. So, yeah, that is what is going on with me and law right now.
Yeah, you keep moving towards your goal. If someone needed you for some law, who's the best person to contact you and how would they reach you?
I have a website, okafolaw.com, and I have a Facebook presence too. And I have a way of sending, I have email addresses, I have a contact number, 207-217-2523. And usually I do in-person, over the phone, or video consultations, and I drive down when I need to. And I do whatever I need to, you know, to be able to work for my clients.
Wonderful. And they would be mostly around immigration issues?
I do immigration and social security disability for now, but most of my clients have been on immigration.
Yes. Well, thank you for that point. I will link to that on the website. Okay. Speaking of websites, it says on Wikipedia that the sons and the daughters of your hometown are industrious. And that actually made me laugh because it's the perfect word for you, industrious. You have a law degree, you have three children, you own and operate a market in Bangor focusing on the needs of immigrant families in eastern Maine. You've served on boards. You started affinity groups. Can you tell us what kinds of things happen in your store, Tropical Tastes and Styles? What goods might I find there?
At Tropical Tastes and Styles is an international market where we sell foodstuff from around the world, different areas. For me, this was not just personal, but it was my... when I saw the need, because personally we also struggled to find things that fit into what we needed culturally. So that was an answer for me, trying to bridge the gap of, you know, people from away being able to find things they need. So in a Tropical Taste and Styles, we find spices from all over the world, different places. And then I own a hair braiding and craft business too, where we do hair braids, and I do jewelry, make jewelries with African fabric, and do some sewing too. Then my law practice, like I said, I do immigration and social security disability. Also, I have people working. Sometimes I feel like my business is not just a business. Like, I feel like, you know, it's also like a welcoming center for people and an open place where people can come and share their struggles, which led me to starting up the Bengal area White Parents of Black Kids. Because, you know, people walk in and they start to share their struggles and how to, you know, with their kids of either biracial or black kids, biological or adopted. So these are all the little needs that we have that are not being spoken about, and a lot of people did not know existed. So which is what is leading me to running for Bengal City Council, because I feel like these issues need to be brought to the forefront. Our issues and, you know, things that bother us, things that concern us need to be heard and be factored into decision making in our city.
Angela, I'm so tickled by the fact that you seem to have twice as many hours in the day as the average person. Folks, if you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Angela Okofor. Not only is she a proven professional, mother, entrepreneur, she's also a social organizer, and she's running for Bangor City Council. So you've just launched into the Bangor City Council run. You're doing doors. You thought you would be just in Maine for a short time and then move to the big city, but you fell in love with Bangor. And you've talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, you like the area and the schools are excellent. What made you want to run for public office?
A couple months back, I would have said, oh, no, I'm not into this. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, most of the times there are things that need to be done. I've always felt like, oh, I'm not going to be in public office or anything. But at some point in time, you have to look and think, okay, this is something that definitely needs to be done and someone has to do it. We have this saying in my place that a goat that is fed by the public dies of hunger. That means that, you know, when this person, you're on your own and you feel like, okay, the next person is going to do it, and the next person says, oh, the next person is going to do it, it keeps going like that and it never gets done, which is why I felt someone needs to do it and why not me? Then my own personal experience is I feel I have a new and differently unique perspective that needs to be heard, that needs to be considered, that needs to be part of our policy making. I feel I have a demographic that, you know, I need to, that needs representation. Different cultures, different personalities that we have in our community today, we need to be seen, we need to be heard, we need to give our kids that visualization, because most times people feel part of a community when they feel they can identify with people in the policy-making position. I want our other people to be able, whether from away or from here, to be able to feel more comfortable, to feel like they are part of what is going on, and to be able and courageous enough to, you know, speak up and give their input in whatever they think they can. And again, and most importantly, I feel that our community needs a boost, economic boost. You know, currently our population is aging so fast that if we don't do something, there's going to be a very serious, actually there is already economic crisis going on. From my own personal experiences, how can people from away be able to get this main experience that will make them employable if they are not given that opportunity? Like myself, at some point, you know, while I was job hunting, I started putting in my resume that within months of arriving, I was able to sit and pass the New York bar exam at first sitting, which a lot of people told me that I shouldn't expect to. Why was I putting that? I started putting that because I felt the need to explain. After being felt, you know, looked down on, questioned my skills, my abilities, I started to explain, yes, I do not have this main experience, but I am smarter than I'm being credited for, and I am a very fast learner. All I needed was an opportunity to showcase what I could do, but I never got that opportunity. So how can we as a community, because this factors so much in getting a family to settle and call Bengal home. It's about the family, right? So if my husband has a job and he's doing well, but I'm not able to find something doing, how long do you think my husband is going to stick around? Most likely not a long time. So how can we get those spouses? I am proud to say I'm arguably the first person, at least that I know about and I've read about, who started to highlight on the real struggles of non-medical professional spouses of medical recruits here in Bengal. Because the buzz is on medical profession, and then other areas seem to be kind of ignored. But we need all these areas, all these skills, all these talents. We need them to grow as a community. So that is part of the reason that I'm running for Bengal City Council, to find practical ways we can get families to be able to integrate into our society, be able to become employable, and be able to actually get jobs that will help promote our economy and the community.
Wow, Angela, you're solving a problem, as you're so good at doing. You're a natural problem solver. You're seeing aging as a major issue.
I mean, where I grew up, you know, you are trained not to complain, because complaints don't make don't solve problems. Actions do.
Yes.
So we can complain from today till from the beginning of the war to the end of the war, but if we don't take practical positive actions, those problems will only multiply. So.
Excellent. I actually was at the farmer's market this weekend, and my apple grower, Art, said there's something with trees called hybrid vigor. That's what happens when you mixed two apples together. You get stronger and more abundant and larger apples. And
yeah.
I also think if you mix someone from Nigeria with someone born in Maine, you're also going to get a board filled with more vigor, more richness, more perspective.
Exactly.
So you are bringing visibility. You might be the only person of color on the Bangor City Council, I would guess. Is that correct?
Yes. God willing, yes.
Yes. And you're out there doing doors and meeting people. What's that like?
I would honestly say it's been quite an experience. It's been a learning process for me, because, you know, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things that I never knew about, which is also very necessary, which also showcases the reason why we need diversity, you know. In Nigeria, my dad, I grew up, I was the daddy's girl. So my dad has a lot of, he talks a lot in proverbs, so I kind of took after that a little bit. So we have this proverb that, you know, when people come together and urinate together, it bubbles. But when one person does, it doesn't provide bubbles. So I don't know if that makes sense. You know, our strength is in our numbers. And numbers wouldn't really mean anything if they are not different. It's just like when you bring the same number, 1111, together. It will still be one, you know. But the beauty is there is one, there is five, there is two, there is three, there is, you know. Bringing them together, it makes a whole lot of difference, just like the rainbow. You know, it's different colors brought together. It gives a lot of, it spices up everything that is going on. It brings it makes every policy, every reasoning, you know, more encompassing. Because I always tell, I like to tell the story, for example, I'm writing, I have in my head to write six. I write six. To me, it's six. When you stand opposite of me, you're seeing nine, right? And when you're telling me it's nine, to me, you're wrong. To you, I'm wrong, because you're seeing nine and I'm seeing six. Even if we choose to switch places, in my head, I have six. So even though I switch place and it should be nine to me, because I have six in my head, unconsciously in my mind, I'm going to switch that nine back to six. Thereby, I will still be seeing six. But you, who didn't write that, when you switch place with me, you're going to see six. Does that make sense?
Yes, you're talking about perspective taking.
Exactly. So, it's very important to hear different perspectives, to consider several situations. And until several situations and several perspectives are brought together, we cannot say to be holistic in everything that we do.
Angela, you are a skilled problem solver. You bring increased support for newcomers and their access to the community for long-term gains for all. And you affirm and support every other person. I wish you the very best in this fall's election. Thank you for being
Thank
my guest
so
today.
Much, Kate. Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please listen at newmainerspeak.com. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Angela has selected for us. Angela, can you tell us why you selected this song today?
The song is called Thankful. I selected it because, you know, I feel like my life, it's been a manifestation of being grateful for what I have, for the little I have, you know. Yeah, you know, I believe in being grateful, being thankful. So just the mere fact of waking up in the morning, being healthy, being alive, you know. Yeah, I'm thankful for everything that I have, every opportunity that I've had, every no's that have been said to me, every door that have been slammed in my face. I am thankful because they all come together to make me who I am right now.
Wonderful. And this is Flavor.
Yes.
Singing Thankful.
If you wake up for morning, hallelujah. From January to December, can never be over. If you wake up for morning, can never be over. Yanule, this is so meme, kwala yonzoe. Yanule, odu me boju de me kwala yonzoe. Better life. I wake up this morning, I'm feeling strong. He gives me better, better health. I have every reason to praise. Your body, your kelewe Jehova. Watching a melo, ngwatiwe kwaleluya. From January to December, kelewe Jehova. If you wake up for money, no kelewe Jehova. Yanule, Jesus o meme, kwa la yonzoe. Yanule, odu me boju de, kwa la yonzoe. Better life. I wake up this morning, I'm feeling strong. He gives me better, better health. I have every reason to praise.
Kele ya, kele ya, kele ya,
for poor, my name Okelewe Jehovah. Whether you old, whether you broke, my name Okelewe Jehovah. Father Mbaka, adoration, everybody Kelewe Jehovah. Emeka Ofo, Jide Ofo, Asimunu Kelewe Jehovah. Oba Imo Music, Simi Ike, my name Okelewe Jehovah. Awagaji, Zuwada Chief, my name Okelewe Jehovah.
Our Lord and personal Savior, the grand designer of heaven and earth, the architect of our solar system, through you and you, we know we must rise to the fall, from zero to hero, from grass to grace. All this we say in Jesus' mighty name. Alpha and Omega.